Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lee Brekeen, your host. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report, our show. Our today's guest, I'm honored to have him on, and I met this gentleman 20 years ago. No, heck no, 25 years ago. He was coaching at Southern University, or I can't remember if I met Coach at Tulane first. I think it was Tulane. Tulane, then Southern, and now he's been at Sanibel High School, the head football coach for many years. He'll tell you, we'll talk about the years. The years are just escaping me. Coach David Oliver, thanks for being on, man.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
I get confused about the time frame I met you, Coach, because I would go to Southern practice all the time and see you. You were the O-line coach at Southern with Pete Richardson. And then you were at Tulane. You were at Tulane first, right?
Yeah, I was at Tulane with a couple different coaches, with Tommy Bowden for a couple years, and then with Chris Elfo for three after that, so a total of five. And then I also stayed at Southern for five, actually working offensive coordinator and quarterback there. So, you know, that was 10 years. And then you throw in 14, I think this next fall will be my 14th year at Sanibel. And time flies, and I think you're right. I think I have known you almost the entire time I've been here.
Coach Oliver, you know, I wrap my head around this, man, and I can't believe you've been there 14 years. It just blows my mind. You've been at Sanibel 14 years. It's just, that's crazy.
Yeah, it goes pretty fast. You know, you blink of an eye, you miss it. You know, obviously the, you know, it's easy to want to stay at a place like Sanibel. They got great people. It's a great community. I love it. My kids, my wife works in the school. You know, both my kids, one graduated, you know, a couple of years ago, and then I got a son who's a junior right now. They've both been in the Ascension School. So it's a great place to raise a family, and I really enjoy it here.
David, I got a lot of respect for you, man. I never got a chance to tell you this, but when the storm hit, what was it, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, it hit Ascension Parish bad in Baton Rouge. And obviously this year it hit Lake Charles. Prayers to everybody in Lake Charles and Alexandria. But your school, like many schools, I mean, it was lost, man. And I remember coming to see you the following, like, football season was coming up 2 months after the storm. It flooded the whole school, flooded all your facilities. And y'all working in, like, this 800-square-foot, I don't know, it might have been 500-square-foot, like, 10 coaches, man. And I come visit you, and you're not even actually, like, in the school, you know, and y'all are just going at it, man, and you're there for those kids. And you didn't stay. You didn't leave. You stuck at it with it. And you were practicing at EA some practices. I mean, you were practicing wherever you could go. Those were crazy
times.
Yeah,
it was,
Coach.
It was. I think it was 2016, and that was, you know, we had a great group of kids that year, and, you know, a lot of them ended up losing almost everything. You know, I lost my house for 3 or 4 months, so it got rebuilt, and a lot of personal belongings. So, you know, I knew how those kids suffered, and that kind of bonded us a little bit together. You know, we just now, just this January of 2021, got in the last of the replacement pieces, the bumper plates in our weight room. So, it's, you know, everything's had to be completely redone from the ground up. And, you know, we went, besides the 2016 season, we went to 17 and 18 seasons without a locker room. You know, we were dressing that old temporary trailer. And, you know, we finally got the locker room built. And then they got a little temporary weight room. And then now that's all. So now we're whole again. And I tell you what, I think it was overall good for our kids, because it showed us that, you know, anything's possible when you put your mind to it and go after it. And I think we learned a lot from that.
Well, I got to mention this for people that are not from Gonzales, Coach. If people are listening to the show in Shreveport or Lake Charles or wherever you listen, Houma, Lafayette, when I played at high school football, one of my first games was on the road in 1988, Coach. 1988, I'm going to Sanibel to play. And nobody told me about that cannon. And I was on defense, man. I was playing strong safety corner, you know, a little hybrid position. And I was playing receiver, but I was playing corner mostly. And, man, I was coming off the field, and that cannon went off. And I was like, what blew up, man? I mean, that was loud. I mean, that's intimidating. That cannon every time y'all score, I mean, that's an intimidator.
Yeah, and, you know, we're known for that. You know, that's "Here Come the Boom" is one of our big things and the chants. And, you know, I guess I just didn't realize, being on the home side, of what kind of a advantage that was, until I'll tell you kind of a funny story, is that, you know, I didn't realize how what kind of an impact that could have on you until, you know, I guess it was 6 or 7 years ago. We drew Acadiana in the first round of the playoffs, and I think it was 2015. And, you know, that was the first time, you know, we used to scrimmage them for years, mm-hmm. but, you know, the scoreboard's not on, and, you know, it's just kind of a different environment. And so anyways, to make a long story short, we went down there in the first round, and, you know, they play like a tornado siren every time that they score a touchdown. And needless to say, it dawned on me sometime around the third quarter after that tornado siren went off for the sixth or seventh time, how devastating that can be to your psyche when you're just getting rolled up. And I was sitting there thinking, man, these guys are so low class. And then I was thinking, you know, hold up. We do the same thing at our place, you know.
I remember there was a student coach, Coach Oliver, on our staff. He wasn't much older than me. You know, he was like 21 years old out of college. And I said, Coach, you didn't warn us about this cannon. He said, I didn't know they had a cannon either. I said, all right, man. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Coach, don't go anywhere. We're going to have more with Coach David Oliver, the head football coach for Santa Maria High School. We're going to talk about his seniors when we come back. Later in the show, we're going to talk about his juniors, which one of those juniors is his son. But he's got some good seniors that I want to promote that need the exposure because of the coronavirus, because of the lack of scholarships. I want to get him on and promote his kids. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our guest today is a fine gentleman by the name of David Oliver, the head football coach at Santa Maria High School in Ascension Parish. And Coach, tell everybody before we start talking about your seniors, you come from the state of Colorado. You're a big Broncos fan.
I am, yeah. I grew up there, and, you know, my dad was in the military, but, you know, we got transferred there. I was 7 or 8 years old, and he got tenure there, and I was able to go to high school there and college just up the road from Colorado Springs and Greeley, Colorado, at the University of Northern Colorado.
Never left, huh, since you came to Tulane. What was it about Louisiana that just – that kept you here? I mean, you never left. When you got to Tulane, you stayed.
Yeah, I just, you know, I wanted to come to the South because, you know, just being a football guy my whole life, I knew how serious this, you know, the, you know, football on the West Coast is, you know, just growing up there in the Midwest. And, you know, it's not near as, it's almost like a true extracurricular at some of these places, you know. And, you know, down here, it's almost like more of a way of life, you know. Like, they don't have spring football in Colorado, and you don't have a chance to, you know, see the kids anytime over the, you know, a lot of those athletic PE is not a thing that you have at the high school level. And at the college level, you know, 50,000 is a huge, huge stadium. Like, yeah. I think CU Boulder is 50,000, and, you know, it's just the fans base, the TV, the atmosphere, it's just different down south. So I knew I wanted to try to get down south, and I didn't know Louisiana would be my, I guess, destiny. But, you know, when you start getting on that job circuit and lurking around and work your way, you kind of go where the jobs take you. And it took me here. And I do enjoy Louisiana. I got to tell you that. And now I'm to the point where I think I tipped the scale. You know, I just recently turned 50. And, you know, you say I've been here 25 years in the state of Louisiana. I just tipped the scale. So I guess I could say I'm Southern now because I'm more than half my life I've spent in Louisiana.
David, thanks for joining us in the 50 Club, man. Appreciate you getting there. I turned 50 in June, so we're pretty close in age. When I hit 5-0, I said, okay, all righty. But look, before we get into your seniors, tell me how big of a fan are you of the Broncos, and they're not doing too great. John Elway's still involved. The head coach, I don't know if he's going to stay there too long, but what's the future of the Broncos with Drew Lock at quarterback? What do you think?
Well, you know, I had a chance to watch a bunch of their games, and I just tell you, I'm not real sure. You know, there's times where he looks pretty good, and there's, you know, times where he's kind of struggling. But I will say this is, you know, if you go back to the, and I guess maybe this has changed, but I remember when I was a kid that, or a younger man, I should say, that Bill Parcells said it took 30 starts to really evaluate a quarterback. And you know, I know that Drew Lock just, you know, he had 5 games as a, you know, he was on injury reserve right for most of his rookie year and then started the last 5 games and showed some promise. And then, you know, early this season, he got injured and missed a few games. So, you know, he's just, I think he's played 17 games or 17 starts, and one of those starts he missed most of the game. He got hurt against Pittsburgh pretty early in the game. So, you know, I think if he can cut down mistakes and come together with that young group of, seems like, you know, that Cortland Sutton was hurt this year, which is a big receiver. But, you know, Noah Fant looks good. The Jerry Jeudy looks like he has a chance to be pretty decent. You know, they got some, you know, the Hamler, the second-round pick. So, looks like they might have some pieces around him. So, you know, I think they give him another year and see if he turns out. And, you know, if not, I guess they'll have to go to, like, the – seems like the 18th guy since Peyton Manning was in there, you know?
Yeah, and then what are your thoughts? I know you're an O-line guy by trade. I tell people all the time, Coach Oliver is one of the best O-line coaches in Louisiana in high school football. It's what you coached in college. But what you think of Cushenberry for the Broncos at center? What do you think?
Old Ascension Parish guy, even though he's an old Griffin over
right,
there.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't, you know, watch him extremely close. I saw some of those games, but I did see that, you know, the head coach, Vic Fangio, really was impressed with his development. You know, at the end of the year, they kind of have a presser, and I caught that. And then he was talking about, you know, Cushenberry and that how he thought he was the most improved player that they had on the team from the week one to, you know, the week 16, and that he really played his best football as far as recognizing the fronts and, you know, putting the team in the right place and executing his assignments. So, seems like he's got a bright future there.
Let's hope that Missouri boy, Drew Locke, doesn't become the next Jamarcus Russell or Jeff George. I'll take a Dan Fouts level, huh, Coach?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. If he turns out, we got a chance to be okay. You know, if he does, I think all the eggs are in his basket. So we'll see. I guess, you know, they're getting John Elway kind of stepped away from the general manager spot in the talent evaluation and moved up to some other kind of vice presidential role.
Yeah.
And so they're going to hire a GM that's going to have full say over personnel. So I guess we'll find out what they think of Drew Locke pretty quick here once they name that guy and ease into the draft, you know.
Coach Oliver, I got an old name for you, old Bronco name. I know you know this. You're in my age group. If he can just be a Craig Morton quarterback, we'll take that, right?
Oh, man, that was the quarterback that took us the Orange Crush, the original.
Right. I remember that.
Broncos.
Remember Gratishar?
Yeah, Randy Gratishar was the linebacker, and John Keynote was the fullback, and they played the Cowboys in the Super Bowl down here in New Orleans, and obviously they lost four straight before they started winning some of those, but, you know, that was the first when the Denver started to get pretty good, and, you know, that's when they had the Orange Crush defense, and they were, they beat the Raiders. You know, that was a big rivalry back then because Oakland was so good, and you know, there was a big controversial in the AFC Championship game, but of course that's way, way before replay, but there was a big controversial play that about a fumble by Oakland that ended up sealing the game for Denver. So, you know, that's what I always tell people, you know, as a Bronco fan, your two favorite teams are Denver and whoever plays the Raiders.
So,
I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah, and then came Elway and Steve Atwater. We're going to take a break, Coach, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your seniors. And then we'll take a break and then talk about your young juniors. We want to promote Santa Mall High School. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Our guest is the head football coach at Santa Mall High School, Coach David Oliver, who's now a transplant. He's a Louisianian from Colorado. And speaking of the Oakland Raiders, Kenny Stabler, speaking of a unique person, and Casper and all the Cliff Branch, you know, all those guys were, man, they weren't well-liked back in the day. Jack Tatum, all those guys. So they were the bad boys. I can't blame you for not liking the Raiders, Coach, growing up. But look, Lester Hayes was another one. Your team, you've got some good seniors, Coach, and you've got some good players in the senior group that I've watched, and I'm going to start naming them off, and then when I'm done, I'll ask you about some of the guys for college. You know, Tyler was a good player for you, as a DN, Tyler LaGrange, and Caleb Rock, O-lineman, Ty Bell, receiver, Evan Bourgeois, safety. Aiden Bourne impressed me as a D-tackle for you. All these are seniors. Marty Jamison, a DB for you. Shaquan Long, corner. Justin Starks, running back. Reggie Sims, Justin Starks played receiver. Jacob McCaskill, big 6'5", 270 tackle, a good-looking kid. Sam McCorkle, linebacker, and there were some other seniors, but that was a really good senior group, Coach, that you had this year.
Yeah, and, you know, they did a great job for us. We went through the flood in 2016 and, you know, just dealing with some of the things that, you know, everyone had to deal with this fall with the COVID-19. I was very proud of this group of seniors for the way they battled to have a season and kept the team together. And, you know, I know everyone feels the same way that, you know, we're glad and grateful that we got football in and that these kids had a chance to compete and, you know, got a little reward and everything that they worked for. But, you know, a lot of these guys are just typical, you know, Gator players is what we call them, guys that, you know, continue to work and prepare and get better each year. And then, you know, their senior year is the, you know, the icing on the cake, so to speak, where they have a chance to play their best football. And, you know, some of these guys didn't play a whole bunch as juniors, but, you know, ended up being starters as seniors. And, you know, those are the guys that we feel like makes our program special. You know, every team has, you know, two or three stars that are good enough to maybe start as sophomores, you know, at 5A ball. But really, we're kind of built on the, you know, I guess we call them the other guys, but the Gator players, the guys that, you know, come in, play on freshman team, and then play on the JV team as, you know, sophomores. And then, you know, as juniors, they kind of are role players, maybe rotational players, or special teams players, and then, you know, take a key role as seniors. And a lot of those guys did that. And, you know, I just, you know, a couple stand out to me. You mentioned, you know, Jacob McCaskill, who, you know, came in and, you know, he's got size 17 feet. He's just going to – his best football is ahead of him. And, you know, he just got more and more coordinated and the muscle memory and trained. You know, that offensive lineman, you just kind of almost train those guys. And, you know, I got a call from – he's going this weekend on a recruiting trip to Delta State. And, you know, so he's doing that kind of visit thing. And I think that's going to end up being a pretty good place for him to go and develop. And, you know, from where he started to where he came, you know, I just am extremely proud of the work he put in and the effort that he has. And I think if that's where he ends up going, that somebody's going to get a real good football player that's going to go there and do a great job in the classroom and the weight room. And they're going to get 2 or 3 years of him as a starter, which, you know, as a college coach, we always thought, you know, I never had a chance to be at a Power 5 school where you had guys turning pro early or anything like that. But at a mid-major, not to, you know, at like a place like Tulane or a place like even a 1AA like Southern or Southeast Missouri State where I was, we always felt like if you could get a guy in, redshirt him, you know, get a couple years as a backup and get 2 years as a starter out of him, that was a huge win from a, you know, recruiting standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, you graduate him and you develop him, and, you know, that was a huge positive if you could do that. And, you know, I think he's going to provide that for somebody. You know, he may commit to Delta State. I don't know, but I mean, that's, you know, wherever he goes, he's going to make someone happy. I think, you know, Marty Jamison, I'd like to point out Marty, you know, Marty started the first, you know, 5 or 6 games his junior year. And, you know, we challenged him to play a little better than he was playing and, started playing another young player, who's, a baseball football kid, Lee Amade, who has an extremely bright future in both sports and has, committed to ULL already for baseball after his sophomore year. So we put Lee in there and really challenged Marty to up his game. And, you know, in the beginning of this year, Lee got injured a little bit. And, you know, we had to rely on Marty. And he took that position and really improved and never gave us a reason to take him back out. You know, he was named our all-district team. And I just, you know, it's just really fun to when you challenge a guy and tell them you need to see better from them, and then they actually take that to heart and produce and do it. So I was extremely proud of the way he played this season and acquitted himself out there. I thought he played great football.
And then Ty Bell's a 6'3 receiver, 175, 180. Looks like he's 6'8. He's so long, and he hadn't played a lot of ball. Ty Bell could be a good player if somebody gets him, huh, Coach, as a receiver?
Yeah, another guy who I think his best football is ahead of him. You know, he has worked extremely hard, and, you know, he worked himself into the starting lineup. You know, he's one of those guys we talked about. He, you know, he came here, you know, and, you know, I remember, you know, the, David Swacker, the longtime Santa Mar coach before me, is now coaching at Galvez Middle School, and Ty went to Galvez Middle School. And so, you know, Coach Swacker calls me and asks me, hey, tell me about that, how's that wideout doing? I forget his name right now. So he said, you know, the boy that he never caught a ball in middle school, not in practice, not in a game, not in a PE class.
Man.
I said, man, he said, Ty Bell. He said, yeah, Ty Bell. He said, yeah, he didn't catch a ball in the entire middle school, even a PE class. And so he really came in, he worked on his hands, he worked on his route running. And I tell you, you know, he didn't have tremendous stats this year, but he caught like 20 passes and was a first starter and caught two or three touchdowns. Had a touchdown reception against East Ascension, which is our huge rival, to put us up 7-0 in that game. And, you know, he's 6'3", and he's probably 180, 185. And, you know, if somebody gets on him, I think he's going to continue to improve. And I was extremely proud of the way he played. You know, he earned a role, and the team respected him for it.
Two other athletes for you, Coach. They could go junior college, D3, D2. Reggie Sims, really tough, stocky running back for you, 5'9", 200-pound kid. And also Justin Starks, a couple of guys that, you know, are way under the radar, might can get a small school opportunity, maybe junior college. Right, Coach, for these two guys?
Yeah, I actually talked to Reggie yesterday. And Reggie's plans is to go to Southeastern and walk on over there and just kind of see how, you know, he's unsure right now of what exactly – you know, it entails to be you know, a Division I type football player, and, you know, the workload it takes. You know, a lot of people have some misconceptions about how your day is structured. And,
right.
You know, so we've had some talks about that, and he's not sure whether he's going to love that style of a day. And, you know, I tried to be as honest as I was. You know, most of these places have, you know, they have breakfast, mandatory breakfast check, and they keep you there, and then you got two or three classes, and then you have some sort of football related activity, whether that's
tutoring,
actual practice in season, or weightlifting in the off season. Then you have some sort of study table and tutoring. And then, you know, at the end of the night, you might have one free hour, you know, a day where that you can kind of have some freedom to yourself. And then it's go to sleep, start everything else again the next day. And, you know, they check to make sure you're in class, and they you know what I mean? They're,
yeah, and look, I tell people all the time, Coach, and I don't mean to interrupt before I get ADD, but it's a 17, 18-hour day. They think, oh, I'm going to Baylor, man. I'm going to Texas or LSU. Well, yeah, this is not a 4-hour day, you know, off practice, and you just go to walk-ons or something and get a hamburger, you know? It's like you said,
yeah,
it's 7 in the morning to, like, what, maybe 10 at night?
Well, yeah, at least 7 to 7, you know, at least solid 12 hours, and maybe a little more than that, you know, on most days. And, but yeah, it's a grind. And, you know, what people also don't realize is, you know, people always say, well, you know, you want these kids to stay close to home and this and that, but I found out that it really doesn't make a huge difference for these people, you know, how far they are away from home, because they still have the same amount of free time that they normally would. In other words, you know, just because you're an hour away from home doesn't mean that you're going to have 2 free hours to drive home and eat all the time. It's just, you know, you have the same time off. You got spring break and you got Christmas break and, you know, a little bit of the summer if you're not in summer school. Other than that, they keep you busy and active and motivated. So, you know, Reggie was not sure that he would love that kind of lifestyle, but he also wants to play football and is going to give it a try for a year. So we'll see how that works out. And that if, you know, it turns out that that's the kind of routine that he likes, then I think he could be very successful, you know?
Yeah, Coach.
Justin.
Yeah. Go ahead. Huh? I'm sorry, Coach. Justin.
I think, and you mentioned Justin Storks, who was a wideout for us, who was, you know, very productive, you know, both in the last couple of years. And, you know, Justin, I think he's probably going to have to be a guy that goes the junior college route. And, you know, I think that if he does that, I think he could end up being a very good college wideout. You know, he, you know, got a little bit behind from in his schoolwork from, you know, being, you know, a lot of these kids. I mean, it's not just him, but a lot of them with this online school. I don't think a lot of them, you know, started off real well. And you know, he was in that boat of guys, and he's recovering nicely. But, you know, I think that if he goes there and has a good couple years or a good year, that, you know, he could pop out of there. And, you know, he certainly down the stretch for us, I thought was our best. You know, he was a starter for 2 years, and, you know, it was him. And, you know, we had a couple good ones the year before, you know, obviously with Javon Aguilar signed at Nicholls State, and then Austin Bascom signed at Southern Utah. So we had a couple of FCS guys. And then he was the definite number three guy, you know, in that unit last year. And so, you know, this year he popped up, and, you know, he was the kind of guy that was leading that unit. And, you know, he did a great job for us. And I think he has a bright future. And down the stretch, I think there was nobody in our district that was playing better than he was.
Coach, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your juniors. One of them is your son, Tanner Oliver, who's going to be a junior this coming year, and also other juniors. And then I want to ask you about the Colorado Buffaloes. Can Carl Durrell turn it around to the old days, right, the McCartney days? Can that happen? Is it possible? The old Eric Bieniemy days, the Solanasi, the late Solanasi quarterback. You know these guys in their 30s, Coach, are saying, who are these guys, right? Who are these guys,
no doubt.
But when we come back, Alfred Williams, you know, All-American DN from Texas at Colorado. They had great players.
Oh, I know him well. I was in college at the same time, yeah. about an hour east of Boulder right there. And
Kevanesis McGee, another All-American DN. They were bringing home the hardware back in the day. Cordell Stewart, you know, Darian Hagan.
Oh, they were.
We'll be back in a minute. We're going to have more with Coach David Oliver from Santa Maria High School. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen, and our guest is head football coach David Oliver from Santa Maria High School in Ascension Parish. If you're not from Baton Rouge and you're listening to the show in North Louisiana or Texas, wherever you're listening, or Denver, Colorado, you know. Talking about the Buffaloes before we get to coaches juniors. Man, what a time with Coach McCartney. It was like a 10-year domination period. He even had Rashawn Salaam, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
He passed away recently. God bless him. And then we had Solanasi, the late quarterback who was – actually the father of Coach McCartney's daughter, you know, their son or daughter, they had a kid. But and then there was Alfred Williams, Kevanesis McGee. McCartney was going to Louisiana getting Dalton Simmons. He was getting Cordell Stewart. They signed whoever they wanted. California, Coach, when you were going to college at this time, I mean, they were going into California getting like Rashawn Salaam at running back, Darian Hagan. I mean, they were on top of the world. What do you think of the Buffaloes now? Carl Durrell's a veteran coach. Can they get that mystique back? Can they get it back?
Well, you know, I hope so. Because, you know, I got to see it start almost from scratch. You know, when Bill McCartney took over there, you know, they had lost to Nebraska. They had never beat them. I think it was like 25 straight years they had lost. And, you know, the first couple years of the Bill McCartney era, you know, Colorado was – they were really struggling even under Bill McCartney. And that's back when they, you know, a lot of people don't remember this, but that's back when they looked almost just like UCLA. They had the powder blue jerseys. Mm-hmm. They had the gold helmet with the powder blue Buffaloes on the side. And then, you know, so they went to the triple option and won a Freedom Bowl 1 year, you know, and then during that year they played Nebraska in Boulder, and I'll never forget it. They warmed up in the your powder blue stuff. And then they went in the locker room and they changed and came out in all black.
I love those jerseys. Those are some nice jerseys.
And that's when they, you know, and then they actually, that day they beat Nebraska and took a couple trick plays or something, which was the first time they had ever beat Nebraska. And, you know, that kind of sparked them up and started a rivalry. And of course they, you know, they went and beat Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl and won, I think it was 1990. They won the national title. They split it with, I think it was
Michigan,
Georgia Tech.
Michigan,
that sounds right.
Yeah, it is Georgia Tech. It was Georgia Tech. You're right.
I think Georgia Tech won one of the polls, kind of like LSU and USC. One won one of the polls, one won the other. But, you know, so I've seen them through the years. You know, they caught kind of that magic back when they brought Gary Barnett back, who was the guy who was on, you know, Bill McCartney's staff. And, you know, he went and did some great things at Northwestern, and they got him back. And then they had another good run there. And I thought Rick Neuheisel had his moments. And, you know, I think they thought they were doing the right thing by trying to get the guy out of Boise, Dan Hawkins. And for whatever reason, that just wasn't a very good match. Everyone thought it was going to be the great one. You know, like, it was widely lauded when they hired him. Like, what a gift. This is going to be a perfect match. And that just not quite worked out. And then, you know, they had the former tight end, John Embry, was the coach, and they kind of slipped a little bit. And, you know, I thought they were going to come back with Mike McIntyre, whose dad coached at Vanderbilt, was a big Southern guy. And he had him up to, you know, they played, you know, they won 10 games one year, and then they just kind of slipped off. So, I don't know, Carl Durrell's the old guy that was, you know, part of CU when Neuheisel was the coach, and certainly has a lot of experience. And, you know, I had a chance to watch him this year in the bowl game. You know, they were at one time 4-0, and then squandered a lead against, I can't remember who, in the regular season finale. I think Stanford. They were up 24-7 and ended up losing 27-24. And then I watched them in the Tom Herman swan song against Texas in whatever bowl that was. And they did not look too good in that bowl game there. So, but I do think that with his staff and, you know, some of the guys have been there a little while, the former receiver there that I can't hardly say his name, Shiverini, Darren.
Yeah,
so he's running the offense, and I thought they looked pretty sharp. But, I think they got a chance. And, you know, sometimes I sit and wonder how good the Pac-12 is for Colorado. You know, I just wonder if they maybe should have stayed in the Big 12 where they were. But I guess I guess we'll find out.
Nebraska's probably saying that too. Like, man, should we have moved to the Big 10? It just doesn't fit Nebraska, I don't think, either. They've been stumbling since they joined the Big Ten. But, you know, Colorado, man, I would love that mystique back. I really would. But, Coach, I want to mention this before we talk about your junior. Speaking of the Buffaloes, and I follow recruiting, I follow what comes out of Colorado. You're from Colorado. But there's always 5 big-time offensive guard tackles coming out of Colorado every year. And you know this. You build your team around the trenches and a quarterback. But they've got to sign those 5 O linemen every year out of Colorado. And all 5 go everywhere. Like, they go to Nebraska. They still get them, though, even though they're down. But how good would Colorado be if they keep those O linemen in state?
Oh, I think they'd be pretty big. I think they'd be excellent. I mean, you know, there's a few from, like, my era that, you know, with, you know, Tony Baselli, who I saw as a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was a Boulder Fairview guy. You know, so you can't get any closer than Boulder Fairview to high school to, you know, Colorado University. It's right there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You could throw a rock from one to the other. And, you know, that guy, he ended up going to Southern Cal and
Jacksonville.
You know, obviously, you know, had a great pro career. But, you know, there's been a number of guys like that, you know, and at one point, what made it worse, the coach at Boulder Fairview was Bill McCartney's son. So, you know, it has kind of been strange how, you know, we've let those guys get away. And, there's not a ton of talent year to year in Colorado, but like you said, there's usually some good line talent. You got a little of that, you know, farm country boy type thing going on, like they have in Nebraska. And, you know, it's, if they can keep those kids home, I think they definitely have a chance. And, you know, but a lot of the people around there, you know, California recruits there pretty good. And, you know, they got to, at certain times, Wyoming actually does a fairly decent job recruiting Colorado.
And look, LSU signed that tight end, Cole Taylor, the shoe man. You know, the shoe guy that's going to be – if he don't do anything at LSU, he's going to remember for that shoe at Florida this year. But Cole Taylor, he's a Colorado kid, 6'6", 250, true freshman, you know, and LSU went over there and got him. And, by the way, they had 4 tight ends sign out of Colorado this year, Coach, in the early signing period. All 4 of them, all Americans, none of them going to Colorado.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. And that, you know, you look at the, Ed McCaffrey and, you know, his crew, who's now the head coach at my alma mater, University of Northern Colorado.
Wow.
Former Bronco great. Both his sons are tremendous athletes. And then, you know, Christian, who's with the Panthers, went to Stanford. And then the younger brother, you know, Ed McCaffrey was a pro athlete. His wife was an Olympic athlete, so they got good DNA. And then the son was, last I heard, at I think he's at Nebraska now, but he signed at Michigan initially and transferred to Nebraska and started a few games. So, you know, those are exactly the kind of guys that Colorado needs to start getting to stay wearing that black and gold, and I think they would be more than successful.
Love that gold and black, Coach. I loved them, man, when they were winning in the 90s. They were unbelievable. People were upset when Cordell Stewart left Louisiana. That was a big one here, but he had that Hail Mary throw at Michigan, which I still remember to this day. And, Coach, getting to your junior group of kids, you've got some good-looking kids coming back. I mean, we're not going to go into the sophomores, but the juniors, led by your son, Tanner Oliver, who's 6'5". You said he's 6'6", 6'7". You're 6'5". But what do you think of your young son, Tanner Oliver? I mean, he's a tight end for you. I'm sure you're teaching him how to block. You're an O-line guy. But what do you think of Tanner, your son, if you were just giving a coaching detail to where he's at right now?
Well, I think he's the kind of guy that, I think his best football is going to end up being ahead of him. He plays a lot of basketball, too. So he's still got to kind of get that strength aspect developed up. You know, he's a long-rangey kid, but I do think he can have a chance to be pretty okay for us at the tight end spot. And, I just know that he's going to end up being a pretty large kid who moves around pretty good. For right now, I think he's about, 210, 215. And, he creates some matchup problems on the edge. And, I tell you that I think that class is pretty good, besides Tanner, I think you'll probably hear about, for sure, our quarterback, Cole Poirier.
Yeah.
Who's 6'3", he's probably 180, 185. His dad played at Nichols back in the day. And, Cole's a kid that has started for us he rotated every other series as a sophomore with another guy for about 8 games and then took over the starting. So, even in that year, he threw for 1,200 yards and, about 15 touchdowns. And then this year we ended up playing 6 regular season games. And, he ended up throwing for, like 1700 yards this year with, 18 touchdowns. So
he's a good looking kid, Coach. He's a good looking kid. Yeah. He's got a cannon arm.
Plus he's our punter and he's our field goal kicker and our kickoff guy. So he wears a lot of hats and, does a lot for us. So, people are going to be excited about him. And, he really spends a lot of time in the summer working on his game. He's a student of the game. So, I definitely think that, those are a couple guys you're going to hear about. And I know you're going to ask me about a few more.
Yeah, let me throw these out so you don't have to be pressured to remember them. Dylan Carpenter, 6'4", 2". You got a lot of height coming up, 6'4", 235, junior DN. Good-looking kid, number 91. Leighton Smart, a tough O-lineman for you, 6'1", 245, junior. Jax Melanson, a lot of Melansons, like you said, have played at Santa Ma. His dad played there, 6'2", 185, linebacker, still growing. Jaquantez Paul, good-looking running back for you that could play receiver, number 34. I like him a lot, Coach, a junior, at least 6 foot tall, maybe a little bigger than that. And then you got Lee Amadi, who's a safety for you. And then, like you said, your quarterback, Cole. That's not all the kids, but that's a good group to build with to go into next year, huh, Coach?
Yeah, it is. And, a lot of those guys have played a lot of football for us, you mentioned Juantez Paul, who, he lines up at receiver, lines up for running back. And I just really, I expect his senior year to be unbelievable, barring injury, because he does a great job. He does a great job in the return game. He does a great job rushing the football from a running back standpoint. I love the way he can motion out of the backfield and match up with certain people as a wide receiver. So he scored. He's caught touchdowns out of the backfield. He's caught them at receiver, and he's run some. So I think, I'm excited about him. I'm excited about Jack Melanson and Lee Amadi, which are going to be kind of our linebacker duo. We mentioned Lee earlier, who's a football baseball guy who's real thick and is committed to ULL on a baseball scholarship. And so he is, he's going to play next to Jax. And then, Jax is a very instinctive kind of see things before they happen type linebacker.
Reads good.
Yeah, he really understands where he's supposed to fit. That's the big, I guess, buzzword on defense is run fits and so forth. And he really knows how. He puts me in the frame of mind of probably one of the most instinctive kids, if not the most instinctive kid I ever coached, was this Cade Roddy a few years back, who was just unbelievable at that kind of stuff and would make play after play. So I'm excited for Jack. Blake Smart started a huge part of the season at guard, and I think he's going to really blossom as a senior. You know, he's, you know, a lot of our kids, and, you know, statewide, I'm sure this was an issue, but he really could have benefited a ton from, you know, the weight work in the off season. And, you know, a lot of our guys didn't get that. And I'm sure this is the same thing that people are seeing across the state. But as, you know, football went on, he wore down and was not as effective and efficient as he was at the beginning of the year. And, you know, during that COVID, you could work out some, but you had to have that space. And so you really couldn't test yourself really in the weight room because you had to do the amount of weight that you could safely do without a spot. And so
you have to wing it, huh? You have to wing it.
Yeah. So I think with a full off season, you can really see him, you know, come together. You know, a guy that, you know, you didn't mention, Trayshawn Dunn can fly. He can really run. He's got good track speed. And, you know, he plays corner for us. And, you know, I think he's going to have an impact. You know, you mentioned Dylan Carpenter and, you know, a couple of sophomores just to mention that I think are really going to have a chance is Dylan's just a sophomore, so he'll be a junior in the fall. And he's 6'4", 235, and every time I see him, it looks like he puts on a pound of muscle. He really works out. He's got a home gym. He works out with us. And, you know, he's really starting to grow into, you know, that defensive line position. I think he has a huge bright future. He also plays some basketball, does a good job. And then we have an offensive lineman who's about 6'3", and he's probably 255, 260, named Mason Vaughn. And, you know, he moved into our school district right at the beginning of this season. He had started as a freshman at Ascension Christian, a little private school on the other side of town here, and transferred over here and, you know, he actually lives in my neighborhood. But anyhow, he really came on as a young guy, played the guard spot opposite of, you know, he played center. He would rotate in at center, at the center spot, and he would also rotate in with Leighton Smart at that guard spot as the year progressed. So, you know, he really has a lot of upside. And I think that of our sophomores, you know, I might be leaving a few out of this conversation like I always do, but you know, I think those guys will definitely have a chance to be on the recruiting radar.
I got a guy, too, that I like, Coach. He might develop into something. You like him, too. Noah Luke, receiver, coming back. He's a junior. Noah is a good-looking player.
Man. Yeah, he was very, you know, him and Remy Rizzuto were our inside slot guys. And, you know, then, of course, we had Ty Bell that you mentioned earlier, and we talked about Justin Storch. But, you know, those guys did a great job in the slot. You know, one of them caught 40 balls, one of them caught 39 balls, and they were within a handful of yards of each other. They were both, you know, around 500 yards, and they both had four or five receiving touchdowns. And, of course, Noah's coming back, and he just, you know, he's so steady and solid in there. I mean, he knows where to go. And, you know, I tell you what I really do like about him is, you know, he doesn't miss plays. You know, if he has a chance to make one, he goes and makes it, you know, and, you know, he doesn't leave anything out there on the field. He's not a drop guy. If he can get his hands on it, he usually pulls it down and makes a play. So, I mean, I'm excited for him coming back. And, you know, he can move around a little bit, too. He's a two-sport guy. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm excited about 2021, you know, and the future. I think we got a chance to, you know, be real good. You know, anytime you got a you know, quarterback, you know, I think, what was that Bud Grant said, that you need a good quarterback, a good wife, and a good dog. Those are the three keys.
I love that. Bud Grant was one of my favorite coaches. People don't remember unless you're probably in the 40 group, but
yeah. So, I mean, you know, that says the world right there. So I know that we got a real good quarterback who, you know, we've had a, you know, nice run of very good players at quarterback. And he reminds me probably the most of Hayden Mallory, that, you know, really did a great job for us. And, you know, he's got a little running, you know, he ran for 400 or 500 yards this year too. So, you know, I think it's all going to start with him, and then, you know, we're going to build it inside out from there. And, you know, I like where we're at as a football program. And, you know, we've So 9 out of the last 10 years, we made the playoffs. And the year before last, we finished 33rd. We finished 5-5 and didn't get in. But so we've been pretty steady. So I'm excited to see if we can qualify for the playoffs. And I will say this for the record. We played Ponchatoula in the playoffs this year, and I just want it to be on the record that we have been known for years, even before my time, for the mosquitoes at the pit and how bad they are on the visitor sideline, because the visitor sideline is right up to the woods. And I would just like everyone to know that we are the second worst place for mosquitoes in Louisiana, because nobody can touch mosquitoes on the visitor sideline at Ponchatoula.
They let you know that you were there. You're on their property. You were there.
Yes,
it's kind of like when you go fishing, David. You fish any growing up in the boat?
Oh, not in the boat. You know, in Colorado, you can pretty much walk up to anywhere you want to fish.
In Louisiana, even if you're on land, if you go out in the spring and the summer, if you don't have that mosquito repellent, you're done. Like you look like somebody ran over you with a truck, you know, when you get done fishing. It's like red spots for like covering you. You look like an apple, you know, when you're done.
Yeah. But,
final thoughts. I want to get you, because I know that you keep up with your Broncos. Who would you like to see them draft? If you could, and I'll give you time to even think about it, but if the Denver Broncos could draft a position and a player, who would you like to see them end up with?
I tell you, just, you know, staying locally, I would love, because it really showed up down the stretch watching them play, you know, from, you know, they had the guy they signed from Jacksonville, I'm trying to say, the Bouye.
Yeah.
And, you know, they struggled at corner. You know, he got suspended, and I think his suspension is going to last a couple games of next year. So, you know, I think if they could, you know, they picked ninth. So I think if a top flight, if they decide they're going with Drew Lock and not moving up, then I think that their main need needs to be a top flight corner. And, you know, I think that Patrick Surtain, you know, whose dad was a New Orleans guy. And, you know, when I was coaching at Tulane, their family owned that dry cleaners right across the street from Tulane.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, I had a chance to know the father, and then, you know, obviously this is his son. He's got a little local connection. So I'd love to see him, you know, get a player of that type caliber at corner. I think they need to address that spot.
They might end up with this guy, Paulson Adebo from Stanford. He's a junior, 6'2", 190, 4'4". And then there's this kid from Florida State. You know the dad, Asante Samuel. So they're going to be in position to get them, and I think Jamar Chase will be around. That's going to be tough to choose from. If Jamar Chase, if no one's picked him, what would you do, corner or take Jamar?
Oh, that's tough after seeing how Jamar played. But, you know, they've got so much invested in receivers. They got a first-round tight end in this Noah Fant. They got a first-round receiver in Judy, a second-round receiver in Hamler that are all – second-year players or lower. You know, some of them are first-year guys, were rookies, and then, you know, they spent the second-round pick, like the 40th pick, on that Cortland Sutton the year before, who was a 1,000-yard receiver. So I almost would say corner, but, boy, that would be a pickle for him to be in right there.
And then if Najee Harris is around, do you take Najee Harris or Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State? They're going to have some options.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I mean, who do you go with? Chuba Hubbard, who can catch the ball and do it all, or you go with the big Derrick Henry clone and Najee Harris?
Man,
Najee would do great in Colorado, huh, Coach?
Yeah, the way that Derrick Henry played down the stretch, I think I'd want the Derrick Henry clone.
Yeah, the 6'2", 235, 4'4 guy. You know, so they're
going to – yeah, just pump you.
And watch him draft a quarterback. After everything we said, watch him take another quarterback. You know, never know. You never know. I mean, because the BYU kid, he's going to be around to take. I think they'll have a shot to draft that Brigham Young quarterback. What do you think of him?
You know, I hadn't seen him play a whole bunch. I did watch the game when they played Coastal Carolina, which was a good game. But I didn't. You know, I don't have a strong opinion on him. I know that the pundits here seem to have liked him. You know, so I, you know, it's kind of crazy. I was kind of fired up. The Denver paper was thinking that the Detroit Lions might move on
from Stafford. Stafford.
Yeah, and then, you know, then the Denver paper had a stat that made me listen. So they said Matt Stafford is quarterbacked in a game against the team that ended up the season with a winning record. So they have not when they've necessarily played them, but at the end of the season, there's been 91 times that he has been the starting quarterback against the team that finished with a winning record. Wow. And he's 8-83, I think. It's, you know, he won 8 of those games. So that made me think that now maybe that's some organization or maybe he's just not winning the big games. So
yeah.
I don't know what to think. So,
well, yeah, if they get Stafford, he'd be a great addition. But here's another thing that could happen. Kyle Trask from Florida could be around in the second round. That'd be a good pickup, second round from Florida. Big quarterback can run and throw. And then the quarterback from Brigham Young is Zach Wilson. It'd be crazy if those two guys drop in the second round and Denver could get them in the second or third round, because you know how this is. These guys drop all the time. And another good corner is Eric Stokes from Georgia. He's a junior coming out as an underclassman, 6'2", 190, 4'4", 40. So there's a few corners in the draft to take for the Broncos. And they got to get used to that stadium. Like you said, from Colorado, it's different, huh? It's different, the weather. Speaking of the weather in Louisiana, tell everybody about the Colorado. I mean, it's a different hemisphere over there, man, in Mile High
Stadium. It is. And, you know, you deal with the cold and the snow and the fall. And, the altitude is also, you know, you're the Mile High City, 5,280 feet. And, they post that all over the place. You know, for years, you know, they swore that a football traveled farther from a, you know, kicker and punter's foot and in Colorado than anywhere else. And I think they finally talked that into existence. I've never seen any, you know, specific studies that prove that. But, boy, you know, they talked about it enough that I think it is an issue. But I do think that it is a challenge for teams from sea level or something to go. You know, I grew up in Colorado Springs, which we mentioned, and that's the home of the Olympic Training Center. So a lot of the Olympic athletes go up there for that specific reason and do train at altitude. So when they go down to sea level, it's almost like they're supercharged a little bit from the amount of oxygen they get and stuff like that. So that might be something that's a challenge, you know?
Coach, I got to throw this out. This is just for kicks to throw it out. LSU beat Florida in Gainesville. You saw it with that 57-yard field goal by Cade York. The Florida kicker, remember, missed a 51-yarder at the end. He's so upset, he's going pro as a junior kicker. Have you ever seen that? A junior kicker is going pro, Evan McPherson from Florida. So Evan McPherson is around for the seventh round as a junior kicker if you want a starting kicker. And they're not going to take a kicker in the first five rounds, but it looks like LSU just kind of broke that program, huh, Coach?
Yeah, it was that had to be a pretty devastating loss for the old Gators, I got to tell you that.
Because after that, they lost to Alabama, and then they got embarrassed against, Texas? They got embarrassed in the bowl game. Oklahoma could have scored 100 on them, you know, in the bowl game. But, Coach, look, man, thank you for being with us today. I'm glad we could promote you and your school, and I hope you're coaching high school ball, man, another 20 years.
Good catching up, man. I appreciate you calling.
All right, don't hang up yet. Everybody go to LAFootballMagazine.com to catch out our articles. You can catch articles that Jace Lejeune's written, quotes from me from watching the kids play statewide in Louisiana. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.